Hello, good evening and welcome back. This is In The Know, brought to you by The Racing Post. And if Cheltenham last weekend really kicked off the National Hunt season, then it is starting to catch fire this weekend. Grade 1 action at, well, both sides of the Irish Sea. A slightly disappointing turn-up for the Morgiana, but the John Durkin and the Betfair Chase are cracking little races. And there's plenty of other interest as well. Ascot and Haydock will be our feature presentations for Saturday on tonight's show. But we are live and interactive, so if you have any other questions, thoughts, feelings, angles or bets, then do let us know on that YouTube chat. But will Grey Dawning go one better than last year, or will Royal Pagai do what Royal Pagai does and turn up and win that race once again and then probably disappear for the rest of the season? Possibly, full stop, could well be his swan song. And will Lossie Mouth win the Morgiana, and is Lossie Mouth now the number one champion hurdle selection for the yard? And what do you make of that John Durkin? Now, we're not going to be covering the Morgiana and the John Durkin in complete depth, but we want to know your thoughts anyway as we really start to kick into gear for the winter game. It was a beautiful, crisp winter's day today. Not the Graham Rodway will necessarily know, because you've been, writing 73,000 words of copy ahead of, proper National Hunt weekend.
Yeah, no, it was a great weekend to write about, Ross. Mm. You know, I mean, sometimes you spend all day on your Friday and you think, oh, tomorrow's a bit dull, isn't it? But you don't feel that at this time of year, do you? Every Saturday between now and Christmas is the best time of year, I think, to be a jumps fan.
Yeah, the weakness of the jump season is that it maybe is a bit weekend heavy. The strength is the weekends are phenomenal.
Yeah, top class horses everywhere you look.
Yeah, whether it's sort of established names or potential future angles. I mean, for example, the Graduation Chaser at Haydock again is a small field. It's full of fascinating horses. It's been won by some absolute blinders over the past 10 years or so. What I like about these races is you get the feeling. The John Durkin's a good example. You can have a great race on Sunday, but you might see four individual Grade One winners of future races in that race as well.
Yeah, and not only in the feature races, but also in like the undercard as well. You might go on and see horses that are going to go on and be Grade One horses in future, before and after the big ones at Haydock. So it's not just the big races that we've got to look forward to, it's everything.
Yeah. Poor Keighley. Weird though, isn't it? After Cheltenham nearly got drowned and blown away, that we've got good ground and good to soft ground to look forward to.
Yeah, it's bad, isn't it? You know, one weekend of rain and then it all dries up again, doesn't it? Yeah. We got some fairly heavy rain in the south on Tuesday and then it just dried up again. And, you know, Ascot stays dry, doesn't it?
It does. Haydock, though, doesn't normally.
Haydock doesn't, no. I mean, they've got rain forecast overnight, haven't they? Up to 6 mil. And Haydock has this uncanny knack of getting about three times as much as his forecast, so we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, by all accounts, it's not going to be anywhere near as testing as it has been at that meeting in the past.
Yeah. And again, are you like me? I feel a bit like, I don't know if it's because of the weather, that the jump season's taking a lot, certainly taking personally a lot longer for me to actually sort of fancy anything strongly or really find form lines I want to follow. So I'm hoping that this weekend maybe throws a few more up.
I had a ton of winners last week.
Oh, right, fair enough. Yeah,
so I really enjoyed it. I'm fully in sconce now. You know what I mean? I had a good weekend last weekend.
You threw a 22-1 winner in there, didn't you?
22-1 winner. I had a Troy Town winner at 11-1 as well, and you know, three other winners at Cheltenham. So it was all it was all good for once.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Answer to Cave. Yeah. Yeah, good horse. That's the only annoying thing. The good thing about these horses coming back time and time again, Rodders, is that you get to see them again. But there's just more horses where you go, do you know how many times I've backed you? An Answer to Cave's one of those. Do we have any of those running this weekend for you? The ones that you either have been on the wrong side of, or the old favourites? Who are you looking forward to most?
Who am I looking forward to the most?
Yeah, come on, there's got to be one name.
I really love Gidley Park, so I'm looking forward to seeing him.
No horses whatsoever. There's no staying hurdlers or anything that you might be looking forward to particularly seeing this weekend.
You mean Crambo?
Thank you, Graham.
I forgot he was running, actually. I totally forgot. I know that he's one of my old favourites, but I totally forgot that he was running.
No, it's fine. I beat three defenders, whipped it in from the corner flag.
And gave me an open goal.
You gave me an open goal and you've caught it. and knocked it out for a throw-in. You've absolutely, your old favourite Crambo's.
Yeah, right. Sorry, I forgot he's running. Yeah, love him, but he won't be winning, will he, tomorrow?
I don't know, you tell me.
No.
No, fair enough. All right. What will be winning? You tell me at home. Hello to Tom Leach, to Joe Norris, to Michael Graham, to Sky Blue Rudds, to Craig Ruddock, to Romping Home, to Viper, and everyone else on the chat as well. Let us know what you think. And if you do fancy anything, put your selections in capital letters as well for your strong selections. And don't forget as well, just back your strong selections, because this is Safer Gambling Week here at the Racing Post. It's a moment for the entire industry to highlight and promote safer gambling. And if you want key information, you can find it on the website there, safergamblinguk.org. Find more guidance and support there. There's no shame in trying to ask for help if you need it. And please gamble responsibly. And like you said, there'll be everything you could possibly need if you're going through a tough time on that website there. So we're going to try and do some strong work on Ascot and Haydock and get stuck into the weekend. But like I said, we do have plenty of horses to, like you said about Rodders, about every weekend throws up something interesting.
Yep.
Keels are plenty of winners last weekend. Are there any future winners from last weekend that we'd be looking for? I'm not going to say future Cheltenham Festival winners, because I think it's nonsense, but I thought last weekend's three-day meeting at Cheltenham in particular was, there were more stories than normal, I thought.
Yeah, I thought that the Arkle Trial was a good race.
Yep.
I actually backed July Flower for the Arkle straight afterwards,
yeah,
only to then see Kopec de Bord and Lou Lamba both come out and make flawless chasing debuts and think I'm not getting so smart now.
Yep.
But nevertheless, Be Aware, I thought, made that a real proper race from the front, and July Flower didn't miss a beat, and Be Aware will be interesting, won't he, where he goes at the festival. No doubt already Dan Skelton's got a plan there. Won't be one of the handicaps, won't it?
Well, weirdly about that race as well, I thought July Flower was good, and the other thought I had as they crossed line was Burdett Road Grand Annual.
Oh.
Not impossible. I mean, he might want to come down the weights a little bit, but that's also possible. I thought the biggest eye-catcher of the whole week was a day later, to be honest, after Cheltenham, and that was at Exeter behind Lou Lamba, Fingal Bridge.
Yeah.
He was a monster eye-catcher. Never put in a race at all. Only asked for his effort going to the last. I mean, he was so far behind then, he couldn't possibly do anything against the favourite, who was officially a stone better and getting £8 anyway, but yeah, if he'd have been put in a race, he wouldn't have been far away. And, you know, he can't go up for that. I'd imagine get another couple of runs into him. Festival handicaps, here we come.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because that's the key, isn't it? Because we're talking about Fingal Bridge, who's, 1.39, and Burdett Road, who's second in the champion hurdle, but it's the grade ones are so top-heavy with your Mullins runners and there's certain horses pulling so far clear at that level that you have to be a grade two horse these handicaps.
Well, this is it. I mean, the thing about the strength of the favourites in the markets for those races already, your final with Amarja, Kopec de Bord and Lou Lamba, who were, you know, pretty much dominant. Right? We know already that the Arkle is only going to have five runners in it.
Yeah.
Those two and three rags.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And anybody who's got a two and a half miler has got to start thinking about handicaps.
Yeah.
All the handicaps, all the 2 mile and 2 and a half mile handicaps last year were won by novices. Don't be surprised if that happens again.
And novices like Colwell Potter that then went and won grade ones weeks later. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's why these favourites in the handicaps are more sure things than the favourites in the graded races nowadays. Like, I always used to think backing favourites in handicaps was a quick way to the poorhouse, and you back the class horses in the graded race and stick with the favourites in those. But actually, it's been turned on its head, hasn't it? Because you're getting graded horses turning up in handicaps, going off short and making short work of weaker opposition.
Yeah, which we saw on the flat over the summer as well.
Yeah, so My Cloud being the best example, I guess, in the
Merchant.
Merchant.
What else did we have?
We had the Never So Brave, the Group 1 winner.
Never So Brave.
Who won on handicap.
More Thunder.
So, yeah, you know.
Well, actually, to be fair, More Thunder got beat, didn't he? Didn't
yeah, I don't know how he got beat.
Fair enough. What did anything else? Has anyone else got one here from last week? No, I don't think so. So let's crack on then, shall we, to this weekend's action. Like I said, Ascot and Haydock. We will have a good chat about the John Durkin at the end as well, and throw in anything else you fancy on the chat about Punchestown. But we're going to kick off at Ascot. Are we going to kick off at Ascot? I thought we were going to kick off at Haydock. No, we are. We're kicking off at Ascot. Fair enough. I was getting excited about the 1:15 at Haydock. Wasn't on the running order, wasn't it? I've prepped it. I was getting excited about it. I thought it was a really good race. We'll talk about that later. Fair enough. Let's kick off at Ascot with the 1965 Chase, a Grade 2 here over 2 miles at 5 furlongs. Just a small field, but again, classy horses from top to bottom. Django Bay, 15-8. Ile Francaise, 5-2. Pic d'Oie, 3-1. Gidley Park, 9-2. And Master Chewy, 14-1. The outsider of the bunch. We were talking about the Arkle there, and we were talking about 2.5 milers and going for handicaps. Well, Django Bay's a 2.5 miler. He went for the Arkle. It might have been a small field, but he gave us one of the most insane performances of the season last year.
Yeah, it was one of my personal lowlights of the whole day, alongside State Man falling at the last, of course. Was I also backed Only By Night, who looked for sure like she was going to win the Arkle, only for this Django Bay to come flying from out of nowhere, looking like he was well beaten, and then come and steal it near the line. But one thing we did learn about Django Bay that day is that he definitely wants a stiff test more than 2 miles, I think, and he's going up here, isn't he, to 2.5. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely going to suit him. And I think that Henderson will have him right for this race, because what other race would you go for if you were training Django Bay at this time of year? I suppose you could look at a Peterborough and some of those others, but
Sylvian. It's got to be a possible, isn't it? I mean, yeah, there's every chance of him getting 3 mile. I mean, I'd question whether he will be quite ready. I was surprised to see him. I was surprised to see him favourite, because he's got a lot to find.
Yeah, we'll go Sylvian Arco Conti, that kind of thing. You know, you've got those kind of races. But the thing is that he's a weird horse, isn't he? Because, like I said, Sandown he looked like winning and he didn't. Cheltenham he looked like he was battered and he won. You know, Entry gets beat by Imperé Pass. He's one of those horses. I mean, put it this way, him running. You could back him at 15-8. He'll probably go 1-2, 20-1.
Yeah.
And you still don't know, I think, going over the final fence, what's going to be expected of him.
Yeah.
And Kiehl's, this is going to be... I mean, we've got Ile Francaise in here, so this is going to be... It's going to be a mad gallop, isn't it?
And Pic d'Oie as well. So, yeah. I mean, they're going to go pretty fast. If he's not fit, and some of Henderson's horses, you know, have been needing a run. I know he's still got a pretty good strike rate over the last couple of weeks, but by the same token, some of them are needing a run, and he actually says in the paper he's going to come on for it, which you'd expect anyway on his first start. Anyway, so I don't think it's going to be easy for him. He's got, he's some way from the best horse in the race on what he's actually achieved. So I'm surprised to see him favourite at the moment. I wouldn't be surprised to see him win, but I'm surprised to see him favourite. He's giving weight, remember, to Ile Francaise.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And his form doesn't compare, really.
Well, he's been smashed in this, but he was sort of 4-1 a couple of days ago. Mm. Now 15-8. So
there's obviously
has he galloped well?
Well, this is the point. The market is telling you one thing, Nicky Henderson's telling you other, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, Mike Henderson's saying this horse is going to need the run.
Yeah.
And the market's saying this horse is going to win.
Yeah, although I think the most interesting market for that kind of thing will be 10 minutes before, I guess.
Well, yeah, but even so, it's a big move.
I mean, the thing is, Ile Francaise has got a hole in him as well, isn't he? Obviously, because he has two different ways of running.
He's got a massive hole in him.
And we don't know what version is going to turn up on the first run for Tom George.
No, and are they going to have the King George in mind for him? Got to, haven't they? How hard are they going to go from the front?
Yeah, exactly. So we don't know about him. We know Pic d'Oie will go hard though, because he's already race fit.
Yep. Now, you like Gidley Park?
I do like Gidley Park. Yeah, I like the entry form. I think that's going to be the key. Like Django Bay was third, Gidley Park was second, Imperial Pass one. I think that's going to prove the best piece of form. I mean, I just can't have Pic d'Oie 10 going on 11 against this lot. It'll have to be a really poor bunch of second season chasers, I think, for him to go and beat them. So I expect that Gidley Park's always looked like he had the potential to go right to the top. He's not been very lucky, as he had heart murmur, didn't he, first time up last year. But he came back absolutely freshed. Caldwell Potter, who won Cheltenham Festival Handicap Grade 1 next time out, freshed him at Windsor. And then I'm not entirely sure that Aintree would have really suited him. He's a massive, big, gangly horse, and that's a right old tight track round Aintree. And he ran a massive race to finish second behind Imperial Pass, ahead of Django Bay, who's favourite for the race. He's more than, double his price.
It's a big weekend for Harry Fry, isn't it? And I think it's fair to say that...
Welcome winner today as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it's been a frustrating... Because he's got two or three clearly very classy horses, but, I mean, luck hasn't been on his side whatsoever, has it?
Well, no, he only had 15 winners last year, I think I read today. He said he had a lot of seconds and thirds and hitting the bar, but this has always been a meeting that he has had loads of winners at. You know, horses like Jolly's cracked it, and If the Cap Fits, and he won a Rock and Ruby, won the Ascot Hurdle, didn't he? And he's won that race, the introductory hurdle today, a few times. He was going to run Idaho Sun in it.
Yeah.
You know, I had this discussion with Keith Melrose, our betting editor, earlier. He's absolutely convinced that Gidley Park will need this run. You know, but to me, again, I don't see what's if he needs this run, what's the plan? This to me looks like he's an ideal test.
Well, I guess he's the obvious thing would be if he's a big lad, is he?
Yeah, but when he won at Windsor, he was coming off a pretty long break. He didn't really have a race at Kempton, did he? When he turned up first time and had the heart murmur, so I don't think that'll be an issue. Harry Fry's always he's got a high straight red trainer, isn't he, Harry Fry?
Yeah. Okay, so Keels.
Well, personally, I think both of them, Django Bay and Gidley Park, need to do a lot of improving to beat an on-form Ile Francais. And if Ile Francais isn't on-form, they've still got a bit of improving to do to beat Pic de Ris, who absolutely loves it here.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? He just keeps winning races at Ascot, doesn't he? He's very, very good. So, you know what I mean? But I'm the sort of person, I can't back Ile Francais because I don't trust him. But if I have a bet in a race, it'd be Pic de Ris. I know he's giving weight to everything, but he deserves to be. He'd be giving more in a handicap to Django Bay and Gidley Park. I know he's a 10-year-old, and I know these are novices coming up and all that, but he runs his race time and time again, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, he won a Grade 1 in February, and he ran to exactly the same level last time out on his return, so he's not regressing, is he?
No, it's just he is that good. And Paul Nicholls is very good at keeping these older horses going for a long while. You know, I remember years ago he had Seymour Business, was fourth in a Gold Cup at the age of 12, and won. Put up an RPI of 170 or at the age of 13 at Wincanton one day. But you know what I mean? So he's very good at keeping these horses going, and Pic de Ris has shown no signs whatsoever of regressing. And he'll find any chinks in their armour, he will, because you know exactly what he's going to do.
Fair enough. Luke Rawson says Gidley won't run, he'll get taken off his feet in this. And apart from those, what else have we got? Ile Francais getting weight on from the field, got to be good value on that alone, says Bert and Ernie.
There is a chance that Harry Fry thinks that the ground's a little bit too quick for Gidley Park. You have to say that. It wouldn't be entirely surprising if he were to pull him out in the morning. A lot of his best form is on soft ground, but we'll see. We don't know what the weather's going to do we?
We just never know how ground the soft will be.
Exactly. We never know how ground the soft will be, Ross.
We just never know. Over at Haydock there for the graduation chase up next for a chance to be running in the race we've just talked about next year, possibly. As the Jukebox Man is 4-6 here, Iroko 5-2, Nappers Hill 17-2, Butch 12-1, Mr. Hope Street at 20-1. And yeah, 4-6 favourite here in the shape of Ben Pawling's The Jukebox Man. Price that probably, given the fact that everyone's expecting Iroko to dance around for places over the winter and turn up at Aintree. But given the way the weights are framed here, even if you beat the Jukebox Man, I don't think he's going to make that much of a difference.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be going up a lot for beating the Jukebox Man, giving him weight, would you? Given that you're officially rated better than him anyway.
Exactly. So he's a 5-2 shot. You've got Nappers Hill off the back of a massive absence. I think Butch has still got more to offer, and Mr. Hope Street's got tons to find. So it's an interesting race, but like I said, anyway, tell me more about Iroko, because the angle everyone's saying is this horse won't win a race until Aintree. But that's not necessarily true.
It's not necessarily true, but you wouldn't be surprised if it turns out to be true, would you? You know what I mean? I mean, he's being, you know, his one aim will be the Grand National. He ran an absolute blinder in it last year. He'll probably go off, you know, the favourite amongst the British trained horses, at least, if not right up there in the end. So we know exactly what he's being prepared for. It doesn't mean he can't win. They've been really struggling for winners, Oliver Greenall and Josh Guerriero. That's would bother me. Did have a winner at Catrick, but only in a three runner race today. Like, you know, so I'm not, you know, 100% certain how straight he's going to be. And you expect the Jukebox Man to be reasonably straight if they want to be going for a King George with him in a few weeks' time. And he does have a huge amount of promise about him, doesn't he? Like, you know what I mean? So I'd expect him to win. Again, not, you know, I think a lot of the races that are actually on ITV are terrible betting races. They are for me anyway. I wouldn't be getting involved in it.
Yeah, I mean, so the two races we've talked about so far, I'm really looking forward to watching them. I'm just not necessarily looking forward to.
Absolutely, yeah, but not necessarily having a bet.
Yeah. But of course, this race, Grey Dawning, Brave Man's Game, Clander's Oboe, Politolog over the last 10 years. So it's a perfect springboard for a future Grade 1 3-mile chaser, or like I said, a King George or a Bowl horse. You know, that's the kind of profile we're looking at.
Yeah, he looks really good, the Duke's box man, didn't he, when he won at Kempton? He did only beat Highland, didn't he?
True.
You know, so yes, it was good and it was Grade 1, but I used to say this years ago about Irish form. I always used to say, yeah, but that's Irish Grade 1 form, it's not as strong. You know, this is British Grade 1 form, it's not strong now, is it? British Grade 1 form, Irish Grade 1 form is stronger.
In particular, those sort of novice chases where you get the feeling it's basically sort of win and you're good.
Yeah,
and the rest will disperse into handicaps in time.
Yeah, Highland's a handicapper, isn't he? And he freshed him like he was a handicapper, and like he was the graded race in the race, like he should. But he's been off a long time, and he's got to prove that he's right back to his best. And I wouldn't obviously want to back him at that price. I don't know what Iroko's going to do.
I mean, I guess that I'm trying to take on the sort of the Twitter logic of, you know, Oh God! How are we going to get Iroko beat for the rest of the season? But I mean, I should probably look at this. But when's the last time a horse won the Grand National having not won a race all season? Like, I mean, they get to find our race that fits him, that suits him down to the ground where the weights are framed, where he can, you know, get that winning habit. I don't want to be trusting a horse to win the Grand National if he hasn't won a race for 2.5 years.
No, and he could win. He could win, couldn't he?
Yeah.
You know, chased home Grey Dawning, didn't he, last year? It's good form. I just don't know what he's going to do, and he's short enough. So if I was going to have a bet in the race, and it is traffic, I would back Napper's Hill. Half those horses that you just reeled off were all trained by Paul Nicholls, weren't they?
True.
Now, I think Nicholls says in his Betfair column today that he'll be delighted if Napper's Hill finishes third, because he needs the run.
Okay.
However, I've heard this sort of thing from Paul before, and he's not always the best judge of his own horses sometimes.
He got Inch House spot on when I backed him at Cheltenham in October, though, because he looked like he was going to win all the way around, then just got knackered in the straight and blew up badly. Yeah. So, you know, can get it right sometimes.
The one thing I would say about Napa's Hill is that I tipped it about a month and a half ago at Chepstow, in that first meeting they have at Chepstow for a handicap chase, that he was entered in that day, and that was a fair old time ago. So he must have been close to being fit then, and we're 4, 5, 6 weeks down the line now.
Well, and also it was, unsuitable ground at Chepstow. I mean, and if the rain doesn't come, is he going to want to risk him at Haydock? I don't know. I mean,
we're all second guessing, aren't we?
We are, until they literally line up at the start.
But we know that Napa's Hill was a good horse at his best, and we know that Nicholls has got a good record in the race, and he's a big price, so that's good enough for me.
Just quickly before we move on, I feel as well like we've had a certain number of flat trainers this year that have had their sort of breakthrough years in terms of either big winners or certainly consistency. I feel this feels like a breakthrough year for Ben Pauling a little bit. It feels like it's all coming together.
Yep.
If you can continue the way it started, you get the feeling your handstands, your Diva Lunas, your jukebox mans, if he can win feature races with those horses, then suddenly he's arrived.
Like Ollie Murphy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, this is a big season for Ollie Murphy, and he started it fantastically. If he can go on and win more big races for the rest of the season, he's going to be ranked right up there as one of the best in Britain, isn't he?
Yeah.
And the same for Pauling. He's got so much ammunition there. If he can have a good day tomorrow, then everyone's going to start saying he's one of the top guys.
Yeah. He feels like the Ed Walker of the winter little bit after his season. You know, you've got the ammunition. It's just like, go out there and prove it. And he proved it. And I think, I don't know, I think he's going to do it. I think it feels like that kind of breakthrough winter for me. The jukebox man, Keels.
Go on. Okay.
Gomez says that Keels is the jukebox man, I'm Mr. Hope Street, and you're Butch. that dawned on me. I was reading it halfway through, but it's nice, it's good. Thanks very much, Gomez, I appreciate that. My love to Morticia. And Tommy Daniels says the jukebox man at 12 to the King George, you'll win tomorrow, and then he'll be shorter after that. Okay, right, sticking with Haydock then. Let's go to the 225, a 3-mile handicap hurdle here, where Marchantu is 9-2 favourite, Horace's Pearl 6s, Hartington 6s, Ace of Spades 7s, Navajo Indy 7s, 9-1 Electric Mason, 10-1 Jinko Blue, and 12-1 and Bigger the Rest. And this is sort of low key one of my favourite jumps races of the season, because I love a big field handicap hurdle, and this race in particular. I don't know if it's, you have certain races, don't you, where they bring horses to the fore, and Din Aston and Grand Cru, and you, and obviously the horses moving into that staying hurdle division out of handicaps, you often get a really nice horse win this and then prove themselves in greater company. And yeah, Marchand 2, Keels could be the next Paisley Park.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I want him to win because I did back him at 50s for this day's hurdle after the...
Oh, did you?
After the Cheltenham race. But it was just looking at the stairs and seeing what a ragtag bunch they are, and you know, it's not going to be a massive surprise if something comes through. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping it was, and I was, you know, I think 92 is very fair if you didn't have concerns about the form of the stable, but they've gone very, very quiet. They've gone from a 30% strike rate in October to a 0% strike rate in November so far, 0-23. Emma Lavelle did have an 18-1 second at Ascot today, so some of them are running well, but it's got to be in your back of your mind that they're not running as well as they were when Marchand 2 won so easily. I thought he looked like he was miles ahead of his handicap mark there, and I do think that already to go up, a £9 rise is not going to be enough to stop him. But will he be in the same form? And that's the only thing that's stopping me from backing him.
The one thing I would say is they've had one horse in that time shorter than 5-1. So are they out of form, or are they just?
I mean, some are half fancy, don't they? But it's not just true. That. It's the distances. A lot of them have been getting beaten as well.
That's a fair point.
That's what makes you worry.
They're not going down fighting, are they?
No, a lot of them aren't. So you know that would worry me. So I'm minded just to leave him alone here. I have had one bit in a race, and that's Phantom of the Points, who was third last year. I just can't, you know, I know that we've got some interesting horses coming up, but he is only 7. And he's, you know, he's only had 11 starts over hurdles. He ran a blinder. I mean, it was in a right bog last year, if you remember. I think only 5 finished. And he put him to the sword a long way out. He ended up getting picked up by Shoot First and one other and finished third. But it was a cracking run. And he won late in the season off a £5 higher mark, which is the same mark as he's got now, at Wincanton on much better ground, so he doesn't need it like a bog. It might actually, the fact that it isn't that deep might help him last a bit longer. And obviously the Pipes have always loved this race. I mean, mostly when it was a fixed brush race, they've won it 3 times in 4 years with the likes of Grand Cru and Din Ast, etc. But he also won it again in 2020, and this horse was third in it last year, and it's the same crack, and he's having winners as well. Adam won today at Ascot.
Ascot won at Chepstow. So yeah,
I just think with the extra places, I just think he's a massive price.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, in contrast to Lavelle, I feel like this is David Pipe's also probably in the best form I've seen him in for ages, actually.
Yeah, and this is a race he targets, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I think I certainly think his handicap will still go well in it, and he'll beat some of the better fancy ones.
If you back Marchand 2 for the stayers and you like that form, but you're worried about the yard.
You're going to say Electric Mason?
I'm going to say Electric Mason.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a chance, hasn't he? Has to have a chance. I mean, he did run really well. I mean, Marchand 2, I think Marchand 2 won that very easily. I mean, that's the only thing.
But
I mean,
he was the heir to the greyhounds, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I mean, Supremely West come out and got thumped.
Yeah.
I know everyone goes on, oh, we went around the inside, but so did Gale Road who was upsides the leaders turning for home, and Supreme West was well beaten off by then.
Yeah.
There's more to it than the conspiracy theorists might believe.
But Gale Road was the other one of the other ones that went on to make the running that day, and he was beaten 30 lengths, and Electric Mason was beaten 2.5.
So yeah, I don't think... that was a time when the Twist and Davis horses all ran awful at that meeting.
I'm trying to make a case for Electric Mason. You're talking.
No, I'm not saying you can't fancy him because you clearly can, because he's got a fair weight pull, and he did run really well. But you know, there are others I think might be more dangerous.
Yeah. Weird stat of the day: 5 of the last 6 runnings of this race have been won by claiming jockeys. There you go. Make of that what you will. Does that help your selection or not?
I like that stat. I've been up and all over the round the houses with this race. I spent ages looking at it, and whenever that happens, you probably shouldn't have a bet in it.
You probably should walk away. Yeah.
I had a good look at Horace's Pearl. Virgil O'Brien usually has pretty good time of things at Haydock at this time of year. And that was quite an eye-catching run at Perth, I think it was. We stayed on quite strongly for third.
You did?
Yeah. And I also had a good look at Navajo Indy.
Yeah.
Will he stay?
Well, that's the question. But at the moment, again, you're talking about Yazoo. I'm liable to hold my hands up and not question anything Tom Simmons is doing at the moment because he's on fire. He's knocking him in left, right and centre.
So he's run loads of races over 2 miles. He stepped him up to 2.5 last week or the week before or whenever it was at Cheltenham in October. And he ran an absolute stormer in second, I think, but he finished the race really slowly, like compared to all those who finished around him. His finishing speed percentage was about 5th or 6th. So not the obvious candidate that you would then say wants an extra half mile.
I didn't think he looked like he wanted it. I didn't think he looked like well. I was toying with him this morning, funnily enough, and I was looking at him, I don't think he will.
And I'm clicking through his pedigree saying...
Yeah, his brother didn't stay, did he?
But it's an interesting move because, again, Tom's... His horses are running incredibly, incredibly well.
And they often do at this time of year.
Yeah.
He's that sort of trainer who comes good at this time of year. I ended up just having a very small bet on Red Risk.
Okay.
At a massive price. He's 10 years old, but he looked as good as ever when he won last year at Uttoxeter. He came from well off the pace and he beat Joyo Machan, who's a lot shorter than him in the market. He's got Freddie Keeley up for your... claiming jockey stat, claiming £7. And
Keithley, surely.
Freddie Keithley. Did I say
Keeley?
Keeley.
It's fine. You're a southerner, it's all right. Yeah, yeah.
Freddie Keeley.
Don't go to West Yorkshire if you're going to pronounce it like that.
And again, you know, I had a quick read of what Nicol said today, and he said that he's very, very well at home, goes very well, fresh, but he's got a tough time.
He has won a good race on. Midlands Cole Gold Cup day once.
He did, over hurdles.
He's just the sort of
horse. That's a big price.
Yeah, I mean, he's 10, 11, but I'm not sure he should be the price he is. He's like 30, 40 at once, aren't
they? I think if Maserati doesn't run up to his best, the two dangers at the top of the market are Hartington and Ace of Spades, aren't they? I mean, Hartington looked a 3-miler for much of that race at Carlisle over 2.5, didn't he? He looks like he's going to improve for it. He's got a very low mark.
He did, in full training
with Sean Bowen on it. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up favourite.
He picked up Florida Dreams though, and
It wasn't a great race.
Yeah,
it wasn't a great race. And there's no argument with that. But then he's got a handicap mark that is there to be exploited. And Ace of Spades is very consistent, and he does stay. And obviously he's got the main man Dan and Harry Skelton.
You almost expect.
I thought you were going to say Lemmy then, but
you almost expect him to be favourite, don't you? Like when I looked to the market, I thought, well, Skelton, couple of ones by his name, it'd be favourite.
Hartington's been the one for money over the last few days. He's the one that's really shortened up, and he's just, you know, as I was looking, he's just been clipped in another half a point again. So
I mean, this is why I love this race. Every year, you could genuinely make a case for 80% of these runners. You've got yards in form, jockeys in form. Horses stepping up in trip. I mean, Horace's Pearl was sent off favourite with the injury grade one and is 6-1. You know what I mean? Like I said, like Electric Mason ran that really good race. I mean, Shoot First is obviously, you know, he's very good in this grade.
What's he going to do? Shoot First?
I mean...
Today, Charles Burns had a massive drift to go and win.
Charles Burns has had his last three runners have all won. At odds of 6-4, 16-1 and 14-1. Yeah. So, God knows, quite frankly. He's got a runner. He's got two at Dundalk tonight. So let's see, 7:45 and 8:15. Let's see how they go first. Because if they win, that's 5 on the bounce. So
he's beaten 57 lengths or something last time.
Remember the 14-1 and 16-1. So they won't get another ride, will they?
exactly. Didn't you hear what we told you? Ace of Spades moving to open company easily. I think he'll be winning better races than this. Says Frizzy Red. Romping Home says Hartington might enjoy the 3-mile trip more than Navajo. Indy with the rain coming, diddly dee dee dee, here, there, and everywhere says anything could win this race tomorrow. Marshan 2, Shoot First, Hartington, Ace of Spades, Electric Mason, or Navajo Indy. So, loads of horses in with a chance. But, Keels, if we had to narrow you down to one, you backed.
I've backed Phantom at a point, so I think it's a big price each way.
Yeah. Robbers?
I'll bet Red Risk each way.
Okay. I'm not going to back it. I'm tempted by Electric Mesa because I do like a swamp by closers and everyone gets excited by the closers and everyone ignores the
I know what you mean.
The front runner.
Especially
and Chris
if the
Gordon
time
as well.
Did.
Chris Gordon's that you no, it's Robbie that fancies
Robbie
one
loves
of his,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Andershan,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we'll get to at some point. There's so many races tomorrow, I've forgotten which one which one all the horses are running in. Mm-hmm. But let's move on then, shall we? To back to Ascot for the 2:40. The Ascot hurdle here, if I Earpiece falls out. Perfectly timed. Thank you, earpiece. Grade 2 here with Wadu at odds on. 10 to 11. 5 to 1 Celtic Zeno, 6 to 1 Potter's Charm, 8 to 1 Alta Belli, Katira 10 to 1, Crambo 14s, the Mian Lion 16s, Winter Fog is 25 to 1, and Gwenny May Boy. First up for Ollie Murphy is the outsider of the bunch. But yeah, it's one of those sort of strange races on the calendar, isn't it? Where again, where you've got horses who might be 3 milers, you've got horses who were 2 milers, and everyone meets in the middle over 2.5 in this Grade 2 contest, and they fight it out, and we see what we've got. Wadu, though, look, she's very talented. She's clearly a very good horse. She's not quite the best horse in this race because Crambo's rated higher, but she's receiving lumps of weight from Crambo. She obviously has improved and was only beaten by Lossiemouth last season at Rodders. She keeps winning until she doesn't, and when she gets beat by a genuine Grade 1 horse. So I can see why she's favourite, but 10 to 11 in one of these fiddly little races around Ascot?
Yeah.
Not for me, but you might tell me different.
No, I'd be a bit worried about the day.
Yeah.
You know, I, if I'm backing horse at odds on, I'd want it to be the day.
Yeah.
Is this the day for Wadu? I think that they're almost certainly a bigger fish to fry, won't they, in time with...
Well, the mayor.
I mean, my main thing is been pretty much the day, pretty much every day she's running.
Yeah, that's true,
Even as she keeps winning.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I backed Celtic Dino earlier in the week in the hope that she wouldn't run.
Yep.
Because I never trust Irish entries until they actually turn up on the day. It's very hard to back them anti-posting it because you don't know. As soon as I found out she was running, I thought, oh, I'm in trouble here. And he's shortened. He's still shortened. He's about fives. And I don't think he should be much shorter than fives without her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm still hoping he's going to run well. If the ground stays on the far side, I think he will because obviously he beat Alexa. He was obviously improved since. But, you know, but Alexa is going to be the best part of £20 higher than he was the day Celtic Dino beat him at Chepstow, and he's a proper good ground horse who was very, very strong at the end. And I think I think he has the potential to run well. Am I interested in backing him now? Not really.
The other thing to mention here is partly around. I don't want to take her on. I think she should win, but it's just the price again. But you've got Ascot horses, haven't you? You know, Celtic Dino is 2 from 3. Yep. Alta Belli's 2 from 4. Crambo's 3 from 3.
Yeah, you've got loads of Ascot horses, but I mean, you know, and there's a possibility that she won't take to Ascot, but she's taken to every other track she's been to.
That's true, but
she's getting a ton of weight.
But I would say they're
horses, most of whom she's better than.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everything is in her favour. I've seen worse even money shots, is what I'm trying to say. I don't like, you know me, I don't like betting short anyway. I'll find a reason to oppose.
Yeah.
You know, but I think I've seen, you can get evens is the best price you can get. And I think you can make a case for that being a very, very fair price.
Well, why are they running here and not running in the Hatton's Grace? Now that Lossiemouth is obviously running in the Morgiana.
Well, I think there's I think his name's William Mullins, is it? I think.
He's got one in this, you know.
Of course he has. He's got Winterfog.
And he's got
Tiapu in the Hatton's Grace, isn't he?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
You know, I mean, they've got to split them up. They've got all the best horses. So you're going to see, you know, some of the better races. I mean, it's nearly 57 grand to the winner to be had. Yeah. And what is, you know, on ratings, not a mile off a penalty kick.
Well, and it's one of those, again, I guess you could say the part of the reason why I don't want to back her is also part of the reason why you might back her, in the sense that a lot of these sort of not mid division, are they? They're just below sort of top level, and they often, even with big fields, they turn into sort of farcical. You know, they sprint off the front, or a lot of horses, they just, I don't know, the kind of race where you see Goshen, you know, turn up every other year or whatever, and you often get the races where class really does come to the fore, because a lot of these horses are—they're just having a crack, aren't they, and seeing how good they are.
Yeah,
we know how good she is.
Yeah.
So there is
it's a good deal better than most of them.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the thing.
I mean, she might be improving.
She's leg two of the TV mug treble that so many people are going to have. Wonder which one's going to let them down: the Jukebox Man, her, and Grey Dawning.
Throw Lossiemouth in as well, maybe as well.
Could throw Lossiemouth in as well. Yeah, the Acker, the Enhancer.
But again, it's like on the flat. Like again. Your Ascots, you came a lot. You know, Wadu's fantastic. She's been rattling around left-hander tracks. So there's just something about those Ascot and Kempton races that give me the willies at this price.
Yeah, I mean, I want to take her on. Yeah, I mean, she first time up it's not the day, as far as I'm concerned, for her. And it is the day for some other horses in this race, of which I think Outer Belly is definitely one of them.
Yeah, you're having a Harry Fry up tomorrow, aren't you?
I am. I'm all over Harry Fry tomorrow. And he's won this race, like I said earlier, three times in the last 10 years. Twice with If the Cat Fits and once with Rock on Ruby. Yeah, he will definitely have had this race in mind for this horse. No doubt about it. He's got a superb record around Ascot. His last two wins have come over course and distance. He lumped 12 stone around in a handicap last time. It was at the track. He then ran it in a grade one at Aintree, which shows you how good he thinks it is. He said that after that, they found out that it doesn't go left-handed. Probably maybe didn't stay either, but back around this track, yeah, he will have this at concert pitch. First time up, I'm sure.
Well, and crucially, you went to Aintree, and we talk about horses, of course. You went to Aintree and got beat by the front two were Aintree horses. Again, I just hit a Valley Lake, a strong leader. So I think, yeah, each, you know, they're going to they play to their strengths and have their races. And
well, I always say about racing, like, it may be that Outer Belly's just not good enough, but I know this is his day, and that's all that matters. A lot of horse racing is all about on the day. It's not about finding the best horse in the race. It's about finding the best horse on the day.
Play to those strengths.
Yeah, and I know that this is Outer Belly's day. He might not be good enough. It's highly likely he won't be good enough, but it's his day, and that's all that matters.
It's not Crambo's day. Crambo.
Well, Crambo's day is coming up next month,
isn't
it?
Next month, yeah.
You know, when we're sitting here in a month's time and it's the Longwall Girdle, that's Crambo's day.
That's Crambo's day.
This is a tee up for Crambo's day. And in a month's time, I might well be saying to you, Ross, Crambo.
Absolutely.
And Crimbo.
Crambo at Crimbo.
Yeah.
It's perfect, yeah. So he'll be having a slow walk ahead of the long walk.
Yeah, I tell you, it's not Crambo's day tomorrow.
It's not Crambo's day.
Crambo's day at Crimbo.
Thank you, Father Crambo. Okay, what do you fancy at home? Celtic Dino says that romping home if the ground stays dry. Chris Piper says, what about Crambo? I think we've definitely covered that, Chris. And Luke Rawson says, Wado should go here, and then the international on Cheltenham at trials day. And Jorge Lozano Lima 1982 says Wado is a top mare. I mean, she is, to be fair. She was kind of one of the underrated stories of last year. I think people do underestimate how hard it is, regardless of what race you're in,
to keep winning. Yeah. She's a born winner, isn't she? You know what I mean? She's going to take the beating.
Yeah,
I hope so. Dino does it, but I mean, I'm not really expecting it. I was hoping that she wouldn't turn up.
Yeah,
but she has.
But she has. Fair enough. All right. Okay. On to Haydock then for the big race of the day, the Betfair Chase. So we have only five horses, admittedly, but again, there's not many more that could be running, and those that could be running are running on Sunday anyway. So you get to see all the horses who could be in this race a day later anyway. Grey Dawning 5-6, Hater Calor 7-2, Handstand 7-1, Stella Story 17-2, Royal Pagai is 9-1, and Grey Dawning in this race last year came there swinging. Surely he was going to go and win, but he didn't. But it was significantly softer ground, and he got outstayed by a horse who absolutely loves a slog in the mud in this race, in the shape of Royal Pagai, who actually returns to defend his crown. He's the outsider of the bunch at 9-1. That's probably got more to do with the weather forecast than anything else. And in between those two, we've got Hater Calor, who again, like Wado, just keeps on winning. It's a prep race, several hurdles. No, I'm going to win it anyway, says Hater Calor. 7-2. Handstands, who clearly needed that run last time out, and beat a couple of subsequent Grade 1 winners over fences at Sandown back in February. And Stella Story as well, who's a strong stayer for Gordon Elliott, who by this point might have won the race that we just talked about 20 minutes earlier. But will the Skeltons and Grey Dawning learn the lessons of last year? He's only 8 years old. He's still got time on his side. This feels... I mean, if they win this, and they win the fight in fifth with the new Lion, you know, he's going to be, what, 1-10 for the trainer's title? Because he's going to be way ahead of where he was last year.
Yeah, I mean, he will be. And this is his day, isn't it? This is Grey Dawning's day. Yeah. No doubt about it. We don't have to worry about that. We know that, just like last year, you know, Skelton is going to have Grey Dawning absolutely peak right for this race. The only issue, of course, is that his market knows it too.
Yeah, true.
You know, it's odds on. But yeah, he's maybe got a bit more lucky with the weather this year. If he goes around on the bridle like he did last year, he's got a very, very good chance of staying in front this time rather than being picked up late by Royal Pagaya like he did last year. However,
yes. Wait for this.
It is Betfair Chase Day.
Yes.
And whose day is that?
Bristol Demise.
It's Royal Pagaya's day, isn't it?
And, it is.
And he did. No, you can go through all the ground and excuses and whatever you want for Grey Dawning last year. If you go back and look at the result, I'm pretty sure it says that Royal Pagaya finished first and Grey Dawning finished second. And Grey Dawning is 5-6 for this race, and Royal Pagaya is the total outsider at 9-1. Only one bet for me.
Well, I mean, he's barely beaten an ambulance since, though, has he? You know what I mean? That's the only problem. He seems to have taken a monster backward step since. And I know they can bring him back, and they have brought him back year after year, but he's 11. It might be his last race.
And it's good to soft. And well, right now it is, anyway.
And it's good to soft ground. And the year he got beat in the race. Did he get beat in the race?
He got beat by a Ploutard,
didn't he? Ploutard, yeah. And, you know.
Good to soft that
absolutely.
Year,
whose day is it?
22 lengths. It doesn't matter.
Whose day is it?
It doesn't matter. He's had his day. That's the problem. Royal Pagaya's had his day. I can't have him at all tomorrow. I don't think the ground will be soft enough.
Sorry, Kels, I don't think you quite heard what Graham was saying. I think he was saying, whose day is it?
It's not Crambo's, but it is Royal Pagaya's.
It's Royal Pagaya's, apparently. Yeah,
yeah, but it's not, you know, it won't be tomorrow. It won't be tomorrow.
I mean, handing the baton over, is what he's saying.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's handing the baton over. I mean, he should have handed it over last year, really. If Grey Dawning hadn't hit the last, he would have won. Mm. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I don't think he would have.
Yeah, he would have done. He was going clear.
I backed him. I don't think he would have.
He was going clear. He would have won. You just don't know how much it takes out of a horse jumping the last fence. Make them say the last fence after 3 miles, best part of 3 miles, 2 furlongs.
I don't know it, but I can imagine that if I was absolutely exhausted and I jumped face first into a fence, I'd tire as well.
Yeah, exactly. Right, you know, you tire quickly, and he didn't get beat far, did he? He'd have won. You know, the others have pretty much a mountain to climb. I mean, Haiti Claw's a very likable horse, isn't he? He's a born, again, another born winner like Wadu. But winning handicaps off marks in the 130s and 140s is completely different to taking on grade one horses at level weights, and he's got to prove that he can do that. I mean, and the same goes for Handstands, and the same goes for Stella Story, who on the figures has exactly the same chance as Haiti Claws and Handstands, and is a much, much bigger price. Obviously, he's an Albert Bartlett winner, having beaten the Jukebox Man, second in the Brown Advisory last year. He's a horse. He's the second season novice with grade one form.
Yeah.
I might play that forecast, Grey Dawning and Stella Story, but I think it's Grey Dawning to lose this year.
I'm just going to pick you up slightly on the Handstands thing, just because, again, you know, Grey Dawning came into this last year rated at 157. You know, Handstands was rated 157 until last time out, where it was a bit of a farcical race. He clearly needed the run, and he's the one who, I think he's the one who could put it up to the favourite again. Well, Ben Paul, in fact,
you know, I think,
he's got loads to, he's got some to find, but he's a 6 year old straight out.
Yeah, absolutely. He certainly can improve. It's just thought that on the book he hasn't got a much better chance to tell a story, and he's a much shorter price. That was the only thing. That's the only thing that's leading it that way. I can certainly see him running well. It wasn't that bad a run. I think Resplendent Grey is a decent horse, although you would be a little bit disappointed to be beaten by him at 2.5 mile. But you know, that Colin Parker Memorial is a springboard race rather than anything else. Like, you know, plenty of horses have got beaten in it and run really well afterwards, so it wouldn't bother me in the slightest. You know, but I think they've all got to make a big jump to get to Grey Dawning, who is still young enough to still improve himself.
I mean, I personally think, you were saying about Wadu is not a bad, I mean, I think 5-6, given he's...
Yeah, I think it's very fair, yeah.
Yeah, given he's easiest.
I'm tempted by the Mug Treble.
Yeah, you start talking yourself into it. Yeah, yeah.
I might have to put Lossy Mouth in him. It probably takes it up to about 10-1, and I can accept that.
Yeah. Please gamble responsibly. Please. but 5-6. I mean, look, the thing is, you know what's interesting? I think the Skeletons, what I like about Dan, it feels like, you were talking about handing the baton over, it feels like this is the year where it's all come together, and he's had significantly less runners over the summer, so he's kind of gone, look, never mind messing around winning good ground races for $5,000. You know, let's keep our powder dry, let's keep the focus on the big races. And they turn up in the big races anyway, but at the moment they're turning up in the big races, the small races, the medium races. He's always been good at getting, he's been a great target trainer over the years. but with your handicap hurdlers and we're getting horses ready for particular races, but I don't know, the way that every mistake Dan Skelton makes at the moment, he seems to learn instantly from it, and I feel like he's going to learn that, and Grey Dawning is going to be absolutely...
I'd love to see it. I love Grey Dawning. I really fancied him last year. I fancied him all year for the Gold Cup, in fact. I thought they made a bit of a mess of it after he got beat here, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll do that this year. I think they'll do things differently. I think he'll end up in a Gold Cup. And I'd love to see him win well, but he's not a bet for me, odds on.
No. Whose day is it?
Well, for guys. It could be Handstand's Day. For me, if you're talking about like who are the horses who are prime for this day out of this race, there's only three, and that's Grey Dawning, Handstand's, and Royal Pagayan. This is their day, and one of them will win. I don't fancy the other two.
I think they'll finish in that order that you just said then. So there you go. Straight trifecta. Grey Dawning is about a stone better than these, says Jeff Futer. 5-6 is a steal. Haiti wants further than 3 miles on soft ground, says Tom Leach. And in contrast, Luke Rawson says Handstands was running the Supreme 2 years ago. No way he stays this trip. So plenty of opinions.
Best mate was second in the Supreme. War of Attrition was second in the Supreme. I mean, they weren't bad horses, were they?
No, very true. In fact,
Size of John was second in the Supreme.
Yep.
Third, maybe.
There's loads of examples, but but you're right.
Because a horse running the Supreme doesn't mean they're not going to be good at 3 mile.
No, Classical Dream won a Supreme, was a 3 mile. Anyway, let's move on, shall we, to the next contest on the list, the 3:15 at Ascot, 2 mile handicap chase here, where Teddy Blue is 7-2 favourite, JPR 1-5-1, Martator 6-1, Cotmas 7-1, Gabriel's Getaway 8-1, Brookie 8-1, 9-1, Boot Hill, and 12-1, and bigger the rest. Hey, do you like sprint handicaps on the flat? Well, you'll love 2 mile handicap chases during the jump season, because, again, love to watch them, but crikey, it is. I find these the hardest grade rodders to land on the right side of, because it's all down to where you start, how you jump. It is. Give me a bet after two fences, fine.
Yeah.
Pre-race, a lot of this is going to be on track position. For example, Teddy Blue had the perfect track position last time out, made the move at the right point, and went on to win as the rest of them kind of closed on his heels.
And it happens a lot in these races.
Happens a lot. Albeit at Ascot, at least they're never dull finishers, are they?
Well, it is very stiff at Ascot, isn't it? So it's not as easy as some other places to make all the running. That's the one thing I would say. Like, it's uphill all the way from Swinney Bottom, isn't it? Right the way to the line. Yeah. You still get a good share of horses. In fact, probably more than their fair share of horses winning from the front. But I wouldn't say it's in the same league as places like Cheltenham and
Ludlow.
Anyway, we can go into the stats of it. I haven't got them to hand, but I could get them.
But I know what you mean, But it's not necessarily...
I get your point.
But you would need to be... Yeah, I mean, we saw it, the Grand Annual was the prime example, wasn't it? Primoz, every year, and the Red Rum, you go, I quite fancy this horse, and they jump off and you think, oh, I can't win.
Yeah.
But anyway, what wins this?
I thought you could make a very similar argument for Royal Pagaya that you made, for Martator that I made for Royal Pagaya.
Okay.
He's obviously got...
It's his day.
It's his day.
It's definitely his day. It's definitely his day.
Definitely
he's
his
got
day.
Loads of track. He's got loads and loads of course form. He's unbeaten over course and distance. The one time he got beat there was over 2.5. And he's back down to a mark £1 lower than his last win. But I came down on the other course specialist. Another Harry Fry runner.
Yes, of course, yes.
Boots Hill.
Yeah.
He's another horse who really has shown not a lot, but he's been running against John Bond and in grade ones and grade twos and all sorts all over the place. And we know he likes this race. He's won it once or twice before, something like that.
Twice, yeah.
Yeah, and the reason I was sort of querying your front runners thing is he will creep. He tends to be ridden a little bit more conservatively than some of these.
Yeah.
And I think that those tactics have worked for him well in the past.
I just want to say, I wasn't making a point necessarily that it was front runners. It's more about that you track position during the race. Not necessarily you have to be on the speed. It's just that if you get a nice early position, you get into a rhythm. That's more important than almost anything else. And probably the second most important factor is
it your day?
Is it your day?
And this is Boot Heels Day.
It's Boot Heels Day.
It definitely is.
You know, but it's also Martyr Tours
we've
Day.
We've seen it three times, but it's also Martyr. Seen it twice before. This could be a third time. But it's Boot Heels Day. He likes good ground. The ground's right for him. I think he'll run really well.
Okay. Yeah, a couple of Ascot horses in there. I thought it could be Cop Masks Day, to be fair. Keels as well. He's an Ascot horse as well.
It wouldn't surprise me. He is an Ascot horse. I nearly went for him. I've been watching reruns of the Teddy Blue race, and I came to the conclusion that Shake Your Tail would have, Feather would have been right on the heels of the leaders without what happened to him. Mm-hmm. To her, because she was making quite stylish progress, and one of the front runners fell right in front of her. And it just knocked her out of momentum, and she brushed up. She actually made the ground up quite nicely, but then just got in very close to the second last, very close to the last again, and that knocks the stuffing out of you. So I'm marking her up quite massively from that. I mean, she was a pound out of the handicap then. She's dropped a pound, so she's £2 out of the handicap now. Jockey change with Tristan Dole replaced by Heidi Palin. She's never won a race this big, but she was champion lady amateur last year. She got a 29% strike rate over fences.
Yeah,
really good. And I think it's like plus £45 to a £1 level stake. She hasn't just been booting home penalty kicks for Dan Skelton at short prices.
She rode Favoir and finished third in the Great Wood the other day.
Yeah, she's very competent. So I think she's worth it. And the horse is only six. Before that Ascot run, he'd run a massive career best when slamming Trap Rain Law up at Kelso, and I just think a double figure price underestimates her chance of getting a lot closer to Teddy Blue and Gabriel's Getaway, who, it has to be said, did come from an absolute mile behind to finish second. I was probably given too much to do.
Yeah, but you could say that, but it was that kind of race, wasn't it? I mean, Sambri completely blew up. Teddy Blue took it up, and then it's one. That's
yeah.
Some of these Ascot chases you do over the final fence. You think there's horses coming from everywhere.
Yeah, I think without what happened to her at the third last, she'd have been involved at the very least, and I'll give her another chance to prove it.
This is a better race, I think, than that Gabriel's Getaway Teddy Blue one, personally.
Yeah, I think it probably is, yeah.
We've got well-handicapped, decent horses in it. I mean, you know, Martyr Tour is obviously very well-handicapped on his best form. JPR one isn't badly treated and ran well in good company. So both of those two ran absolute stinkers in the Organ Gold Cup.
Yeah.
And you know, you can blame the jockeys for sitting too far off this or ask or whatever, but they just didn't look right, did they? Like, you know, they've got to come on a hell of a lot for that.
Wasn't their day, though.
In a short space.
Well, and the other horse that I thought was interesting out of that race, who was, as they turned into the home straight, was still in front, jumping the first fence in the home straight and then completely got swallowed, and that's Sambri. But we know that his day is at Aintree in the spring.
Yes, it's not his day.
It's not his day.
Sometimes it's not your day.
Sometimes...
Shut up, you two. Get on with it. Come on.
It's just not your day. When's your day, Rodders?
I think the jury's still on that one.
Fair enough.
I had mine about 25 years ago, unfortunately.
Was it a good one?
It was all right.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. And Philip Clayton says, why wouldn't Sambri be competitive at a huge price?
It's not his day.
It's not his day. Right, let's go to Haydock for the 3:35 then. We've got a staying handicap chase here. Where Sherman Uchi is 7-2, Saladin's Son is 6-1, Whistlestop Tour 6s, Major Fortune 6s, Famous Bridge is 7s with Confusion, 17-2, and bigger the rest then here for this staying handicap chase. And the question is, whose day is it? Well, Famous Bridge, isn't it, Ryan Haydock? But Sherman Uchi 7-2 favourite here for Sam Thomas and Johnny Deutsch, and Sam Thomas is making quite the name for himself with horses who... turn up time and time again and barely put a foot wrong on this horse. He's had
more problems than a UK politician, hasn't he?
He's
obviously massively fragile, but he didn't half win easily last when it was last seen at Carlisle and Butch, who's running in the earlier graduation chase. He was odds on there, but it was no fluke whatsoever about it. It had one of those commentator curse moments because he jumped like an absolute stag, and the commentator called him as jumping really well, and then he belted the second last, lost first place, and then just went away again after the last. And he won easily, and he's a half brother to Katati Dori.
Well, that's because Katati Dori did a very similar thing. Yeah.
He's older than him, like, you know, but he clearly stays well. He's clearly very useful.
Yeah.
I think he's probably chucked in, and I don't think there's any worry about him not being fit, because you cannot have a horse as fragile as him unfit.
Yeah.
like, you know, when you get them ready and strike when you can. And I think he'll take a lot of beating. I know Famous Bridge is very much your Haydock horse. We're not in proper Haydock conditions, though, are we?
No, that's true. I mean?
That's, you know, so, you know, I think it could be, you know, it's almost everybody's track when it isn't absolutely bottomless, you know what I mean? It's not, you know, all courses can be specialist tracks, Haydock particularly, when it's bottomless, but it isn't going to be bottomless, so... Yeah.
I mean, it was good to soft when he beat Apple. Well, I mean, beat Apple away. Obviously, he's had that race taken away. But when he was first past the post there, so
yeah, I'm not saying he can't act one in them. But I think the course being a course specialist is more important when the ground is really soft.
Okay.
And we know he can handle it. We obviously know he can handle better ground as well. And he's a good horse. But I don't think. He has the potential to be much, much better than a mark of 138. With Shobanucci, he has the potential to be much, much better than 135.
That is true. But so you're saying it's Shobanucci's day?
It's Shobanucci's day.
All right. Rodders?
I like the Skelton's runner here, Major Fortune. There are a couple of horses that ran in that race at Cheltenham that caught my eye, that he ran in last time. He was one. He made a bad mistake at the first. He ended up poorly positioned, a bit like you said earlier. Very difficult to get into these races if you get poorly positioned early, and he made a mess of the first fence, which put him in an awful position, and he just kind of hunted round for a little while and then stayed on nicely to finish fourth on his first start for a long time. I thought he'd definitely come on for that run. The other one who caught my eye in the race was similar horse, Double Powerful, finished third. He ran a very similar race, so I'm keeping an eye on that form, but I think the Skeltons might take this one out, Major Fortune.
Yeah, I think that Double Powerful is a good horse, but he's just not had his day. I mean, he's just not been running.
It's coming.
I agree, and I think it might be a springtime race. I've got my eye on him for one of them. We've got loads of other stuff going on. Obviously, we've got the Morgiana, we've got the John Durkin, and there's loads of other non-TV races that have got loads of interesting horses in. Quickly on the John Durkin, gentlemen. I mean, half the field, it's not their day, quite frankly, but. Absolute banger of a lineup, isn't it?
Great race. Almost all the field, it's not their day.
Yep.
Almost all the field are going to have bigger fish to fry in the future. And that doesn't mean we can't have a great race, but we know that most of them are not going to be at their peak. So I'm going to go back Heartwood. His day. It's definitely his day. Whether he's good, again, like I said earlier, he probably isn't good enough. But he's definitely his day because
he's not good enough yet. But he's another one of those horses who could take a step forward.
Well, we know he's going to be fit because he's already had a run. Like, he's going to be hard fit for this. This is his one chance to get a Grade One. Henry de Bromhead will know that, and he's a big enough price. But it's a fantastic race. Looking forward to watching it too.
Yeah, I thought he was interesting. I mean, he split Factor File and Envoy LN first run at Cheltenham. He's lightly raced. I mean. You know, he was winning his maiden hurdle. Factor File was winning a beating Gaelic Warrior in that Grade One novice chase. So he's a year behind Factor File. So I think he could take a step forward again. Good. I mean, faster slow back in the. I mean, we're talking about horses for courses. Punches Town Hero.
Yeah, it goes well. But he got beaten this race last year, didn't he? I mean, it probably is Factor File's day for me.
I
don't know what to make of Gaelic Warrior anymore. Like, you know, when he's good, he's very good. But sometimes he's not very good at all, is he? Like, you know, and you know, they're still talking about taking him to the King George, so he must be doing everything all right at the moment. Like, you know, and he's been very hard to train over the last couple of years, apparently. So
it's mad, isn't it? It's mad that you talk about a horse who's won 9 of his 16 races.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
and we
go,
we don't know what to expect.
Yeah, I know. But when he has run some absolute stinkers in his life as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that's the thing. Like, you know, but you know, I'm a fan of the horse. I'd love to see him. I'd love to see him do well. But I think it's probably Factor File. He's very much the one to beat. I mean, it's a fantastic race. You can't not watch it, can you? Certainly a much better race than the Morgiana, which only has four runners in it with Lossie Mouth. I mean, that's an absolute hammer blow for people who fancied Anderdan for the champion hurdle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because there's only, you know, only two possibilities. One was that he had a setback, and two was that she smashed him up on the gallops, which is why he's been relegated to the fighting fifth. There isn't a prayer in hell that Willie Mullins sends his best champion hurdle contender to take on the two best of British in November. It's just no chance across the sea, just no chance whatsoever. So he's way down the pecking order now, and he'll get thumped in the fighting fifth, and that'll be the last we hear of him as a champion hurdle horse. Sorry for you lot that have taken 7 and 8 to 1 or whatever he was for beating a an 11-year-old stayer over 2 miles.
Well, or he'll do like a, he'll do a Salvatore Monday, and everyone they'll talk him up, and he'll turn up in 18 months or something, yeah. And he'll win a race. Yeah. And you
no,
go.
No, I mean, it is a, you know, only kidding. But I mean, if I'd backed Anderdam, I'd be devastated that he wasn't running in a race, because yeah. It just means he's down the pecking
order. Well, so would I, because they lost money. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, if I'd backed him for the champion earl, I mean, not the watch. I would still be devastated. I mean, there's not a prayer in hell that he's the number one at close run if he's taken on the big guns from Britain. First time out in November.
Is Lossie Mouth the number one now then? Is that the...
She might well be.
Yeah.
She might well be.
Do we have to do this again?
Not yet.
Do we have to go for the mayors or the champion?
Oh. Yeah. He has to improve by a long way, though, doesn't she?
Let's just hope we don't get like another embarrassing repeat of last year's win in the Mayor's Hurdle, where she's just a million miles better than anything else.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that's not getting another repeat of an embarrassing champion hurdle result, which was not embarrassing. But you know, I mean, like, again, you spend all month, oh, it's a win the champion hurdle. You watch champion hurdle, you go,
well,
okay.
Let's not go into whether.
Anyway, I fancy two more at Ascot tomorrow.
So look,
I fancy two more at Ascot tomorrow.
All right, I'll tell you what.
Crack on.
Is one of them going to be the nap?
One of them's going to be the nap as well.
Tell us the one that's not the nap.
All right, the one that's not the nap is Good Look Charm. In the Mayor's Handicap Hurdle. She has won Mayor's Handicap Hurdle's first time out in each of the last two seasons. She's £2 higher than for the last one. I think she just about gets 3 miles when the ground isn't soft. In fact, one of her best runs was in a Grade 3 at Sandown over 2.75. So I wouldn't be that worried about the fact that she was stumped over 3 miles twice last year. That's first time out, so that's her day. And I'm hoping it will be very much Snipes Day in the Berkshire National.
Don't tell me the nap. I haven't done the naps yet.
Oh, that is the nap.
I know, we haven't asked you for the nap yet.
Oh, right, sorry, go on then.
You've got to tee you up first.
Oh, I'll tee you up. Look, what I was going to say.
Tee him up, will you?
I know, we record that bit, shall we?
Yeah, let's go. Guys, can we cut the. What, it's live? Okay, right, fair enough. All right, I'll tell you what. Oh, this is what happens when you get through in the studio. We're so not used to it. We're so used to waiting for we're getting, so sorry Tom, what were you saying with your dog and your painting? No, never mind, carry on. All right, okay. Look, big race, big race of weekends, big weekend of racing on both sides of the Irish Sea. So you'll never guess what it is, but what is Paul Keely's nap of the weekend?
It is Snipe in the Berkshire National over 3 mile, 5 furlongs. It was absolute travesty that it's not on ITV. I'll be turning straight over to Sky watching this 12 runner handicap wide open. Snipe. Absolutely convinced that what he wants is a marathon trip on decent ground. He's never had the chance to do it because he fell early in the Scottish National last year, and the other time he ran in a marathon it was bottomless at Haydock, when it very much wasn't his day. But the way he finished last time behind Henry's Friend, looking booked for a distant fifth and then running right through to finish fourth and not being beaten that far at all, tomorrow's his day.
All right, it's his day. Snipes Day. Rodders, whose day is it?
It's going to be Harry Fry's day.
Yep.
And I'm going to back Gidley Park as my nap in the 130 at Ascot. If he does get pulled out on account of the ground, then my nap will be Altabelli, who's in the 240 at Ascot. It's definitely going to be Harry Fry's day.
Harry Fry, stop at a winner.
Oh, yeah. Do you need a wind up? That was even losing it.
I got so excited. Yeah, I'm here.
It's Harry Fry's day. I think it might be Henry de Bromhead might have a good weekend. I quite like Cocktail Divin in the Florida Pearl. Tomorrow it punches down. Rocky's Diamond's favourite, but kind of understandably so. But I don't think he's much of a superstar. And he was eye-catching fourth in the Stayers. Everyone spends all winter saying that the Stayers aren't very good, and then you go, oh, what a good piece of form that is. I'll back him at short prices. So I think Cocktail Divin. I think he chased home an aeroplane in Romeo Coolio last time out. He'd been running all the best novice hurdles last year, and he's owned by your Manella Rindo, your Monoly owner, who you know he's bred to stay. All his owner has is 3 mile staying chasers. Henry de Bromhead's fantastic with them. Yarder in form. Daro keeps it riding out of his skin. And I think that run last time out will put him right. I think he'll improve a bunch. So that's the nap for me. What do you fancy on the chat? Nothing. Great. Lovely. Right. Okay. We'll be back next week. Before we go, again, just a reminder, it is Safer Gambling Week. So, like I said, we've given you the naps. We've gone through the races. But you don't have to bet in every race. And, it's okay to pick and choose. So if you want any key information about Safer Gambling Week, it is available on that website there. We'll be back next week. next week, where we've got the aforementioned fighting fifth.
Yeah, fighting fifth and the Cork Gold Cup.
I don't think Kiel's is here.
You're not here either, are you?
I'm not here.
Am I not here?
No, I don't think you are.
Am I?
I've just been told you're not here.
Am I not here?
It's not your day.
I think Robbie and Tom Siegel are on next week, aren't they? You've got a week off.
Kicked off, yeah. Not your day, mate.
That's great. I can go on it now.
Not your day. It's not your day. I'll be here, though. I'll be here with Robbie in there and Tom at home with the greyhound. So what more do you want? Anyway, enjoy the weekend. It's going to be a cracker. See you next time.